When we are in exile, we likely want to escape. We want the trapped situation to end and to have as much more comfortable sense of being at home as we can have. The Israelites were in exile in Babylon when we read of this public debate of these two prophets, Hananiah and Jeremiah. They were having a discussion, well, actually quite a contradiction, about how and when the people of Judah would be delivered and the precious treasures of the temple be returned. Hananiah announces that deliverance will happen in 2 years. Jeremiah seems to agree with him, saying, oh, may it be so. However, he receives a different message from God and hears that Hananiah's message is actually a lie to the people. It is a false hope that sounds good up front. So, of course, who wouldn't want that? It is interesting, though, that God seems to not be into quick fix theologies, but rather often asks us to wait and listen, and then to follow through with what God is saying. It can be excruciatingly hard. God's people would not be handed a Monopoly get-out-of-jail-free game card. Perhaps you have felt this way during the pandemic. If I could just get out of this situation, if only I could get on with my life as usual, my real life. We too long for the treasures of our Eucharistic cups and linens, along with our communion table, our altar, to be returned to us, or us returned to them. I wonder how we will hold and taste these gifts when we are finally free to do so. I was at St. Dunstan's Parish a few weeks ago to use a quiet room for a Zoomed center retreat. Being all alone in the building was very sad. Sadder was looking around at all the Lenten objects still in place, as if everyone got beamed up, but the desert remained. The font full of sand, the Stations of the Cross in full view, the children's footprints going up the wall to the cross, all was as it was on March 8th. Our beautiful sacred space had a sense of being in exile. It was hard to take. When would this be over? When can we go back home? And now, even as we tiptoe towards a return, we know it will certainly not be as it was, even if it feels a bit like being at home in God's house. Instead of escaping exile, we read that God sent the families of Israel a message to build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produced, marry and have sons and daughters, multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where you are in exile and pray to the Lord on the city's behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. I will fulfill to you in my time my promises, for surely I know the plans I have for you. Then God shares his promises to restore, prosper, and gather them. But there was to be 70 years in the waiting. God was not into a shortcut, but invited them to move in submission to what was being asked and not resort to rebellion, disregard, or entitlement, to be a people of peace rather than a people of power. God was asking them to do the next right thing. The people of God weren't being asked to do some major show-off God thing. No Red Sea parting, no magic wand, just bring wellness to the city. Like we heard in our gospel reading, the simplicity of bringing cold cups of water to those who bring good news and receive the cup when it is offered to you for your hard work. God didn't make them guess what this was. God was clear. God told them exactly what to do. They weren't invited to come home, get all set up, get the church back into sacred liturgical order, and then be a part of the community's welfare. What about us? How are we being invited to build, plant, eat, marry, and pray for the welfare of our cities, leaders, and neighbors, some who clearly will be our enemies? Where might we be sent ones at this time? May we continue to give freely and drink deeply to be satisfied with even the simplest and humblest of gifts. As we see racism, exclusion, massive environmental destruction, COVID sickness and death, overdoses at record highs, buildings being blown up in protest, and others blown up breaking countries' peace pacts, we realize how far from home we really are in some ways. Paul says, we are all slaves to something, slaves to power or to peace. Are we under law or under grace? God is not a legislator. God is a promise maker and keeper. God doesn't ask us to do things we cannot do. How cruel or completely unhelpful that would be. God has designed us and equipped us for this life and empowers us by the Holy Spirit to do what we and God long to do together. Romans 6 inspires us that we have the power in our everyday life to live this out in ways that are faithful to God. When I was in a significant exile from my normal life about 7 years ago, all I could do was to keep saying yes to grace. Staying open to grace was a full-time job. Lady Julian of Norwich, survivor of the bubonic plague, 14th century doctor of our faith, asks the question, what kind of God gives you a longing to be at oneness with God and then not grant it? She teaches, when we pray for mercy and grace, it is impossible not to receive it, for God has us long for what God longs to give us. She says our deepest longing is to be aware of our oneness with God, where our will is transformed into God's divine will. The psalm today says we will be happy people with festal shouts when we walk in the light of God's countenance. We also call this practicing God's presence, giving and receiving love and power, even in Babylon, in exile, in pandemic, in isolation, in protest, in overwhelm, in discombobulating and discouraging times. We have to trust that we are loved and guided, even when we are at our worst. Jesuit priest Jean-Pierre de Caussade, born in early 1700s, is the author of The Sacrament of the Present Moment. The original text is called Self-Abandonment to Divine Providence. In this book, he shares a little story where he illustrates our following God on a complicated journey. Imagine yourself now following God in this story. When one is led by a guide who takes one through unknown territory by night, across ground without any clearly defined paths, going wherever they fancy without asking advice or disclosing their intentions, what is there but to surrender to the guide? What is the use of looking to see where one is, asking passers-bys, or consulting the map and other travelers? All this would defeat the intention of our guide, who is asking for our confidence and knows this might arouse anxiety in us, but wants us to totally depend on their guiding. If we were certain that they were guiding us in the right direction, this would be neither faith nor surrender. Divine action is essentially good and needs no direction or improving. What would you want to hear from your guide when traversing through unknown country by night without clear paths, kind of like we are now in our COVID realities? Perhaps something like, I got this, or better yet, I got you, or be still and know that I am God, or my favorite, all shall be well. The spiritual journey is not for the faint of heart. I've had to put up on my walls many icons of Jesus' face and Mary to help me stay grounded in this time. I need to walk with bare feet on the earth, purpose stillness, call my therapist and friends to connect so that I can be in the light of God's countenance and not get stuck in my shadow self or the shadow of this age with hopelessness and despair. We heard in Romans that we have been freed from sin by God's grace and given new mornings and next invitations to follow God with this gift of life we have been given. We once were slaves of sin and now are obedient to do what is right. It sounds like we actually have been given a get-out-of-jail-free card. We have been brought from death to life. We are God's instruments of righteousness called to do the next right thing. From my experience, returning, re-entering, following through often are not quick fixes, but in them we have been set free and are being even more set free. Even in exile and in slow returns, we see that spring comes, she always does, grace flows, it always is.